this fourth Sunday in Lent, a day which the Lord has made, so let us rejoice. What word would you use to describe God's grace in your life? One word we are familiar with is the word amazing. Think about it. Why should God Almighty love you or me? But He does. And He has gone to great lengths to demonstrate His amazing love for us. So today, for sure, let's celebrate His amazing grace in our life and how we benefit because of it. Let's start the celebration by turning our attention to hymn 399 found in the red hymnal. Please rise as we continue on page 3 of the worship bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins by the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Almighty God, we confess that we deserve to be punished for our evil deeds. But you ask, you graciously to cleanse us from all sin and to comfort us with your salvation. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. On this fourth Sunday in Lent, our first reading comes to us from the book of Numbers, the 21st chapter. The people of Israel forgot the blessings that come from God. And so God, in a visual way, showed His displeasure. And at the same time, in a visual way, displayed His great mercy. We hear these words. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. This is the word of our Lord. We continue with the singing of our psalm for today.
Thank you.
Why do you and I need God's grace? The answer is found for us in our second reading from Ephesians chapter 2. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of our Lord. Please rise for the gospel reading. Taken from the Holy Gospel of St. John, the third chapter, God is all about you and me, all people, by grace, living with him forever in heaven. We hear this reminder. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Please read verse 16 with me. For God so loved the world, only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated as we continue with the children's sermon. If there are children who want to come forward, they may do so at this time. I don't know how many turn their clocks ahead, but good for you. How you doing? Good. You know what? Oh, thanks for making room for me. It's a long way down, isn't it? How you doing this morning? You doing good? You said good? Your breakfast? No? We should get you some breakfast, shouldn't we? No? Hey, celebrations. You like celebrations? You have a birthday?
It's November
26th. November 26th? That's a reason to celebrate, right? Glad you're here. Do you have a cake when you celebrate a birthday?
No.
Normally not? When people do have cakes to celebrate a birthday, what are they put on those?
Candles.
Yeah, candles, right? But they light those candles. And then what do they do?
Yes.
Yeah, they sing happy birthday when you blow the candle, all right? There's other times in life we celebrate. When we win a game, or we get a good grade on an assignment, we'll celebrate. Exactly, end of the year basketball party. Come together and celebrate the season. Celebrate God's gifts that He utilized throughout that season. There's something else we need to celebrate, too. Even more important than all those things. It has to do with sin. And it has to do with grace. What does grace mean?
Undeserved
love. Undeserved love, yeah. And that's important because of God's undeserved love, we are saved from our
sins,
right? Unfortunately, we don't always celebrate that fact as we should. That's what we're here today again, to be reminded that Jesus came for our sins, and we have a reason to celebrate, because God, out of undeserved love, sent His Son to die for you. Who?
Us.
Us, yeah. You mean all people. So we definitely have a reason to celebrate. Now, we don't necessarily light a candle on a cake to celebrate that grace, but we light candles in church. Those are reminders of reason to celebrate God's grace. Other ways that we can celebrate God's grace is by helping people out, doing our best in our assignments.
Celebrating Good Friday.
Celebrating Good Friday, exactly. Right? And then telling people why it's Good Friday. Some people are confused. Why do we call it the day Jesus died? But it's a reminder of God's grace. Right? So let's pray about that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us a reason to celebrate in this life. Despite our sins and all the bad things that happen in this world, your grace overcomes them all. Because through your grace, we see the fact that you sent your Son, our Savior, to die for our sins and to rescue us from our sins and to give us a place in heaven. In the meantime, until we get to heaven, help us celebrate your grace by living our lives to your honor and glory. Help us celebrate life each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming up and celebrating with me. We're going to continue with our next hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance, and this possible from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn our attention back to the second reading for today, Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to ask you to read with me verses 8 to 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. It's found on page 6. We read, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow recipients of God's grace in our life, celebrations are a part of life, right? What have you recently celebrated or are looking forward to celebrating? Perhaps it is a birthday or an anniversary, the birth of a child, first steps, school graduation, getting a job, paycheck, the list goes on and on, all the way to retirement from a job, Fridays, you name it, we can pretty much find a reason to celebrate it. Now, this isn't to say that there are not things that happen in life which cause us to do the opposite. And yet, even in those times, there is still a reason to celebrate. To celebrate what makes a difference in our life and helps us provide balance and perspective and gives us hope throughout our life through the ups and downs. So, people of God, celebrate God's grace in your life, because it is the difference maker. And this grace of God in our life is also a powerful motivator. In order for you and me to truly appreciate God's grace in our life and the impact that it has for us day after day until the Lord takes us to heaven, we do need to recall what our life was like and would be like without the grace of God in our life. And in the verses leading up to our text for today, the Apostle Paul gives us a description of what our life was like or would be like without the grace of God. He says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." This isn't the time we point the finger to someone else and say, "Yeah, you." No, we point the finger at ourselves and say, "He's talking about me." We are conceived and born dead in our sins. We are objects of God's wrath. We have no desire to come to God, nor ability to come to God on our own, because we are dead in our sins. Thus, we need God's grace in our life. And did you note how many times that word grace is used, or similar words for that grace is used in just those verses that served as our text? There's a reason for that. Because God's grace runs contrary to our nature. Because again, by nature, we are dead in our sins. We used to live that way, dead in our transgressions and sins, when we followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Or as another translation puts it, we were objects of God's wrath. We're roadkill by nature. Do you see roadkill get up and walk? We are spiritual zombies. Sure, we carry on with life, but without the grace of God in our life, where is our life headed? Why would God give us His grace? Paul answers that right away in the opening verse of our text. Because of His great love for us. God, who is rich in mercy, His great love for us. John 3:16 described that love for us, the agape love, the undeserved love. You and I have done nothing to deserve His love. We're not saved in view of our faith, that God knew that someday we would come to faith, and so, yeah, I'm going to send my Son for you in view of, no. He didn't save us because of how many good works we would do, for how many good works are enough to please the Almighty God who demands perfection from us. So He has saved us not because of anything we have done, but purely because of His great love, undeserved love for us, His grace. He gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy emphasizes the same point, just from a different vantage point. He doesn't give us what we deserve. What we deserve, we confess in our sins earlier. We deserve to be cast away from God's presence forever because of the fact that we are dead in our transgressions and sins. And we give evidence of the fact, day after day, that we need God's grace. Because even you and I who have come to faith by God's grace still sin. Because that old Adam in us is a good swimmer. It's been drowned in us through baptism. But daily it arises. And so as Luther pointed out, we need to daily, by God's grace, drown that old Adam again. So that the new man may arise and come forth. All possible because of God's grace. His great love for us. He made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Not a one of us can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Decision theology, it is not our decision. It is God working in us through the means of grace that brings us to Himself, that brings us into a loving relationship with God for time and for eternity. Romans 5, the Apostle Paul makes that same point about while we were still sinners, what did God do for us? He sent His Son who died for us, making the case again that it is by nothing we can do to earn God's favor. It is all because of His grace. That's why we have a reason to celebrate God's grace in our life. It's all His, richly given to us. Can the message get any clearer? That we are saved by grace, not by works, not by our own decision? Just to nail down that point, in Romans chapter 3, Paul also was led to say, we are justified not by observing the law. We are justified, that is, declared not guilty before God, not by our observance of doing this or not doing that, but rather by what Christ, His Son, our Savior, has done for us. Evidence of God's great love, rich in mercy, grace abundantly outpoured to us. People of God, celebrate it. He goes on to say, another reason to celebrate it. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. What do we have to look forward to? In the big picture? Heaven. All because of God's grace. And He emphasizes that it's through Christ that we have heaven to look forward to. And in the meantime, we are His witnesses to put light on the fact that what is waiting for us is heaven. Death doesn't get the last word. Christ Jesus does. And what has He done for you that makes us so confident that that we will have heaven? Again, it's not by our works, it's not by our decision. It is because He died for us to win our forgiveness, and to assure us of that fact, He rose again. That's why Sundays through Lent are called mini Easters. We have reason to celebrate. That's not taken away from us, no matter what our situation currently might be. Because He lives, we too shall live. But as our gospel reading pointed out, for those who don't believe this message now, that is before all people by grace, because we can reject it, being dead in our sins, they stand condemned now already. And that's a tragedy. And in a moment, we're going to talk about how to address that. But in the meantime, we recognize how it is that we are saved. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, not in view of faith, but through faith, and this not from yourselves. We didn't ask for it. It is the gift of God. Sometimes we give gifts and people don't deserve them. Talk about a gift we don't deserve. That is God's love, clearly demonstrated in the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the season of Lent is truly all about. Seeing God's gift of grace in a visible way as we are reminded of what Jesus had to endure, the pain and the suffering. Not without purpose, but to be taken to the cross where He suffered more. Again, not without purpose, but to win our salvation, to win us back from the devil's clutches so that we might be set free from sin and have access to God. It is by grace we are saved, through faith, not by works, so that we cannot boast. Because even our good works, they're still, like a prophet Isaiah said, like filthy rags. We have nothing to boast of in and of ourselves. Rather, our boast is in Christ. Christ crucified, Christ risen. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And we are created to do good works. First of all, keep in mind again that we're dead in sin. We're not doing the good works that God desires and that pleases Him by nature, although we're capable of doing good, but for different reasons, not out of love for God. And the fact that He has given us faith, the ability to do good works. Now, what is a good work? Well, we could ask the world what is a good work, but that's going to be different more often than not from God's definition of a good work. We reviewed them briefly last week when we heard about the commandments. The first three commandments emphasize our relationship with God and what we can do to help increase that relationship. Commandments 4 to 10 then are a response and another way to show God's grace in our life by loving one another. In fact, the psalmist in Psalm 119 says, "Your word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." The word gives us the definition and the guidance of good works. And those commandments that God has given to us can be summed up in one word: love. There's a reason why they're summed up in that word. Because it all goes back to God's great love for us, who has called us to love. We are His handiwork, Scripture says, or workmanship, created to do good works, which He has prepared for us to do. Again, our lives are not without purpose. Just as Christ's work on the cross was not without purpose, so our lives in Christ are not without purpose. And that is to glorify God. And we do that by showing love to Him and by showing love to one another. Doing those things which God has prepared for us to do. We may not necessarily know all those things that He has prepared for us to do. But as we do them, we are able to recognize this is what God has enabled us to do. Encourage one another. How often does the Bible emphasize we are to encourage, to build up one another? Because what do we tend to do by nature? Tear down. The Lord knows that about us after the fall into sin. And so He reminds us throughout Scripture, build up, encourage one another. And He has given us the motive. His Son. Other things that we can do, which God has prepared for us. We can provide for those who are without food and shelter in a variety of ways. There are means to do that. What else can we do, which God has prepared for us? Well, in addition to worshiping Him, encouraging one another, looking out for those who are not in a position to take care of themselves, right? We can and are to go and tell others about the reason that we have to celebrate. Let them know why we call Friday good. Jesus came for all people. And we have an opportunity in a week to go and help tell people about the good news of Good Friday and Easter as we invite people to our campus to hear that message of God's amazing love. An amazing love which has been clearly seen in Christ and given to you and to me and to others for a purpose. To do those things which God has prepared for us to do, to bring honor and glory to Him, and to build up one another in the grace of God. Dear friends, recall God's grace in your life daily. For how often are His mercies new in your life? Each and every day. That's something powerful to remember, especially as we focus on our baptism. You know, each day the Lord knows I'm going to mess up. And yet each day the Lord raises me up, sends me forth in His mercy. Fresh start, past behind me, future ahead of me, living in the present. All because of that amazing grace. Celebrate it today and each and every day of your life, dear friends. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're found for us on page 8.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you.
O Lord of heaven and earth and sea, to you all praise and glory be. How can we thank you properly who gives us all? Dear Lord, from you we all derive our life, our gifts, our power to give. Oh, may we ever with you live, who gives us all. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. Let us pray, brothers and sisters, for the Holy Church of God throughout the world, that God, the Almighty Father, gather and guide it so that we may worship him in peace and tranquility. Let us pray for our pastors and teachers and all leaders of the church and for all the people of God.
Almighty and eternal God, your Spirit guides the church and makes it holy. Strengthen and uphold all who serve you and your people. Keep them in health and safety for the good of the church. Help each of us to be faithful in the work to which you have called us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who do not believe in Christ, that the light of the Holy Spirit may show them the way to salvation. Let us pray for those who serve in public office, that God may guide their minds and hearts, so that all of us may live in true peace and freedom. Let us pray that God, the Almighty and Merciful Father, may heal the sick, comfort the dying, give safety to travelers, and free those unjustly deprived of liberty. Lord, on behalf of Pastor Brock and Heather Grove and Pastor Gunner and Miranda Lederman, we thank you for blessing these families with baby girls this past week. Continue to keep watch over these families, help them care for these babies, including in the raising them up in the knowledge of your grace in their lives. May that be true for all who are raising children up in our midst. Continue to provide the physical care and healing needed for all who we love and cherish. Above all, focus their attention on what you have done for them due to your amazing grace, as what you have done to meet our spiritual needs does not change, though our physical circumstances may change. Birthdays are another reminder of how special our life is, as you, Lord, are the one who has given us this life. Move us to view one another as gifts from you. As our fellow members celebrate a birthday this week, we thank you for them and ask that you refresh them in body and soul. Continue to bless the marriage of Eric and Pam Egle as they celebrate another wedding anniversary. Renew their love for one another as they reflect on your great love for them. We bring these petitions before you, O Lord, and also pray as our Savior has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amazing grace, isn't it? To help us grow in our relationship with the Lord, we're offering Bible study opportunities, Sunday school in the respective classrooms, teen class in the upper room, adult Bible study will take place here in the church proper. Today we're talking about management of our gifts, the talents that God has given to us. Membership class tonight at 5 o'clock. Our fifth midweek Lenten service coming up this Wednesday, Lord willing, at 7 o'clock. Supper at 5:30, so come for a great meal at 5:30 and then worship at 7. What's great about these Lenten meals, we gave up calories for Lent, and so the meals come calorie-free, and they don't make you sleepy for the worship service. How's that, huh? Family game night on the 16th. See the weekly news for more update information regarding the family game night, along with the praise and proclaim effort that's coming up on the 17th. So please see the weekly news for that effort going on in Orangevale this year. That related to that is the egg hunt and the Easter services. So please see announcements in the weekly news, how to sign up and the times and so forth for the egg hunt and the Easter services and the Easter brunch that are coming up. Please keep Mr. Bauer and Mrs. Bauer and their family in your prayers as they continue to deliberate the call that he has received to serve as principal of Lutheran Plains High School in Watertown, South Dakota, Great Plains Lutheran High School there in Dakota. as well as the call that he is holding here at St. Mark's, Citrus Heights. Calls are not always a slam dunk, so continue to keep them in your prayers. Campus cleanup on the 24th, that's vital for many reasons. We have a beautiful campus. We're going to be good stewards with it. Plus, also, we're inviting many guests to celebrate Holy Week and Easter with us. So please see the weekly news for more information regarding campus cleanup. For more information, see the website, the weekly news, the bulletin boards. It's all there. Talk to your friends and family, fellow members. Get the scoop what's going on. Invite them, encourage them. And before you leave God's house today, hopefully you'll have an opportunity to meet and greet, find somebody new you haven't seen before. Maybe you saw them last week. You asked for their name. You forgot their name. That's all right. Ask them again. They'll give you the same name. You know, I'm going to say it that way several times just to emphasize it's okay to go up to somebody and ask them their name and welcome them. Before we dismiss, though, we're going to get connected with the work we do as brothers and sisters throughout the Wells as we watch the March edition of the Wells Connection.